Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Thanks for tuning in. And today, Pastor Chris is joining me. Pastor Chris, how are you doing today?
It's been a good day. How about you?
And it's been great. Good to have you. And Pastor Chris is filling in for Pastor Margaret, who is taking a very needed break at the time of this recording. Also joining us is Richard Ayala. Richard, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing fine. Thanks to God.
And Richard is joining us today to share his testimony and what's going on in his life right now and how God is using him. But Richard, just start out telling us a little bit about where you're from and about how you grew up.
Well, I'm from New York. I grew up between New York and Cleveland, like half of my life in New York, the other half in Cleveland. When I was, younger, my parents did go to church. And, we had a, a good life. I played sports, played basketball and volleyball when I was younger. But when we moved to Cleveland, things got a kind of little bit. I started like not going to church and hanging out with the in the streets and, ended up doing a lot of things that if I think about it now, I do regret. But I think that every time you go through something in life is a lesson that you learn from, the past. I can look back now and I can help you understand that maybe you want to rethink what you're doing or there's another way. At one point in time in my life, I was just trying to fill a void that was inside of me and, hanging out in the streets, doing drugs and, going to parties. And it was a constantly, what we could call a worldly life. And the more that I participated in it, the more that void in myself got bigger and bigger. And I thought, if I'm doing all this stuff, I thought the void will leave, will get, will close up. But the more I went to it, the void just got bigger and bigger.
I mean, you can continue like sharing about how you ended up getting, because now you're in Virginia, you're not in New York anymore. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit more how you ended up being in Virginia.
Well, the way that I made it into Virginia is kind of a, a story of moving a lot of places from when I was hanging out in the streets. It got to a point where I was feeling this is not working. And I decided to join the military. So I went to the military, served at, Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And after Afghanistan, I ended up moving to Puerto Rico. And in Puerto Rico, I was trying to figure out what was going on. In Afghanistan, the world was not making sense no more. And I ended up talking to a chaplain. And, the chaplain was telling me, listen, the only thing that can fill that void in your heart is God, and I always pushed against God. I was like, I don't want to hear about God. You say that God loves people, but my parents don't love me. I was feeling out of love, out of place. Like I didn't have a place where I belong. So when I made it out of Afghanistan back into Puerto Rico, my parents were opening a church and they asked me to go, and out of respect, because at that time I was living with my parents out of respect to them. So I said, fine, I'll go. I really didn't want to go, but I ended up going, because my dad said, if you're living underneath my roof, these are my rules. And I was already grown. I already had my kids after a few failed marriages. And I started going to church. And slowly by slowly, like that void and the word of God started telling me, like, listen, it is okay. I am here for you. And I ended up, fully serving, leaving everything that I knew from the streets behind and trying to serve a life, to image Christ. One of the things that kind of always got me was that even that I knew that God was able to forgive me, I was not able to forgive myself. Oh. So in this whole transition, I got things cleared up with my parents and how I felt and why I was rebellious during my youth years. And we started going to church and, all of a sudden, I found myself, you know, going to college again and finishing. And all of a sudden, I was like, I'm moving to Maryland out of nowhere. So I told my wife at that time, I said, listen, I'm moving to Maryland. She was like, what? I said, yeah, I'm going to Maryland. And I went to Maryland, and one of my friends from Puerto Rico was actually in Maryland. So when I got to Maryland, he ended up moving to Woodstock and started going to a Nazarene church in Woodstock. So I started like traveling from Maryland to Woodstock to go to the church. And that's how I ended up here in Virginia. I ended up saying, I'm not doing this no more. It was like, you know, God was moving me. And at first I was like hesitant to do it. I was like, look, Lord, me and my wife got a good job here in Maryland. We own our house. You're asking a lot, you know. And God said, well, are you trusting me? I have never failed you before. Are you going to trust me? So we ended up deciding, like, let's just move. Ended up one summer, we was like, we're moving. We're going to somewhere in Harrisonburg, and here we are, you know. And looking back at it, I don't regret none of it. And even that has been hard, it's not been easy, you know. I got here, the job offer that I was supposed to get fell through. Then, you know, I have to fight back to get it, and I've been unemployed. But one thing that I can say is that through all this storm, I kept one thing in mind, and, you know, and I say it to the Lord. I remember the story when all the disciples were in the boat and Jesus was sleeping. They knew Jesus. They seen all the miracles that Jesus did, but they got, because of the storm, everything that was coming at them, they were like afraid, and they woke Jesus up. And one day I said to Jesus, you know, maybe you're sleeping right now. Maybe you're having me wait, but I know that you're here with me. So I'm going to stand in the storm because I know that you're with me. And, you know, when I declare that, right now I got another job. You know, I'm working at Waysboro and everything is going great. And when I look back, I said, Lord, you did this. You're the one who provided everything that I needed and everything that my heart desired. And you keep providing. And I say it, you know, one time and then again, he's always faithful. We just have to understand sometimes we have to wait and wait on what he wants for us. And I thought, going back to Maryland, and, you know, I said, Lord, give me a sign. Should I go back to work at Maryland and leave my wife here and travel on the weekends to come to church and, you know, do that long traveling, that commute? And I said, Lord, I need a sign. Well, the Lord gave me a big sign. My wife came out one morning and says, my love, I'm pregnant. You know, so all my other kids are grown right now. So I'm starting a new chapter. And I said, the Lord has provided me and my wife the opportunity, you know, to become a parent again. And with everything that the Lord has taught me, I want to be there for the kid, because I was always an absent parent. That took me to a rebellious stage when I was younger. My parents being absent, I did it. So I said, I need to break the cycle. I need to be there now. And God has given me that opportunity. And, you know, I said, he makes everything possible in the world. You know, without him, right, there's no road we can go.
Well, I think of, as you were talking, I think about the scripture that says God restores what the locust has eaten. And so, I mean, whether it be with your son, that's coming, or I believe you have a grandkid too, right?
Yes, I just, so, yeah, my daughter, so, yeah, my daughter just had a grandkid, so I'm becoming a grandpa and a father again, you know. And I'm saying, you know, things are looking, you know. I also have the opportunity to work with the youth, thanks to Pastor Chris. You know, he prayed a lot for us to join the team, and we joined it, and we have enjoyed every moment of it, you know. We look forward, you know, for Sunday nights to come and come to movement and, you know, talk to the kids, like, what are you doing? You know, how your week went, and just having that community. And, you know, like I said, the kids are great, and we're just looking forward to the new campus that is going to open up in Waynesboro. And I'm glad that God took me to Waynesboro. I'm starting to learn more about the community. I'm starting to learn more about, you know, because I don't live in Waynesboro, and I'm, you know, I'm leading a youth group, me and my wife are, and God has given me the opportunity not only to be able to be a part of the community over there, but also to be able to serve him, you know, in a purpose that he calls us all to do, is to preach his word to everybody. And, you know, we're excited. We're just waiting for, you know, October 19th, which is the opening of our movement in Waynesboro, and the 20th when the church opens up. And, you know, we firmly believe that the Lord has a purpose. Right. in everything that he asks us to do. And we're just following, you know, his lead. And like I said, he's always faithful. He's full of love. Right. So we just have to, you know, keep, you know, understanding that, yeah, things are going to get hard. We're going to have up and downs in our lives. But just because, you know, we're having a down moment doesn't mean that Jesus has left. You know, Jesus, like I always say, Jesus never left the door. Mm-hmm. He's right there with you. You just have to be like, ask him, you know. Mm-hmm. I always say that Jesus is like my best friend right now. You know, when I need help, I need help. Like, he was actually like sitting next to me, and I explained to him. I talked to him. I prayed to him, you know. And sometimes, yeah, I fuss. Like the other day, like I told him, Jesus, you know, I'm desperate, but I know you with me. And he understood my desperation. And his answer was like, wait, I have something for you. I have something that you've been waiting for. Something that you want is here for you. All you have to do is be patient. And I think that's a lot of times where we fail, is being patient on the Lord giving us what we want. Because we want everything right now. You know, we're like the internet. You want to push the button and we want it right away. But the Lord wants us to wait, because when we learn patience, it's not just learning patience, it's learning to trust in him, the one that gives us everything.
Yeah, I think you have a beautiful story, really a good testament of like the grace of God in your life, and how God's grace has transformed you. And now you are using your transformation to kind of share hope with those you are leading, with those around you. And so I want to go back in your story a little bit. And you shared about how in your youth, you felt like you had this void and you try to fill this void with things like drinking and partying, and et cetera. Could you share a little bit how your relationship with God or finding community in the church kind of helped fill that gap for you?
So one way that, you know, when I went back to the church, you know, at first I was like, this is not for me. I don't want this. I was actually, my dog tags say that I was an atheist in the military. So, you know, anything that had to do with God, I like want to push it away. But listening, you know, and I knew about the Bible because my dad was, you know, a pastor. And now, but listening to the stories again and being in that community and understanding that we are humans, we are going to make mistakes, and being, you know, in the church and participating, you know, not just going, just participating and getting to know the people and sharing our stories got me to understand that God always was there for me. You know, my parents were praying every day for me. You know, while I was out doing things, my parents were praying and asking the Lord to keep me safe. And I firmly believe that their prayers kept me safe because the Lord watched over me, even when I did not want nothing to do with him. And the church brought that harmony into my life, brought the love that I was lacking in my life. And it got me to experience that God is love. And to be able, once you experience that love, you want everybody to experience it. You want everybody to be that happy and be like joyful and understand that the world really has nothing to offer. Like I said, I did a lot of things. I did drugs, alcohol, I party, went to raves. Like, what did I not do? You know, and that every time I did something, it's like I was farther away from God. And now when I think about it and I analyze, the farther I got away from God, the bigger that hurt in me and that void got. And I noticed when I started going to church, the hurt was less. And throughout the years, you know, then when I finally said, you know, Lord, I want more of this. This is what I want for my life. I want this hurt, this pain, everything to go away. And I knew for years that God has forgiven me. But it took me years to forgive myself for everything that I did, because I was not a good person, you know. And now I even tell them, you know, we have to understand that God forgives you. We have to learn how to forgive ourselves.
Right. Yeah, healing is a process. And the amazing thing about our God is that God's grace is sufficient to sustain us through that process.
Yeah. And the Bible says he throws our sins as far as the east is to the west. And if he's not going to remember them, I'm not saying we can learn from our mistakes, but we don't have to dwell in the past. Yeah. We can be present in the present, kind of like a new chapter, a fresh start, a second chance. God gives us that. And, you know, sometimes it's harder for us. We're like our toughest critics, so to speak. We're, you know, that just means we need to grow closer to the Lord, and he can help us forgive ourselves. And how did he help you do that?
Well, throughout the process, I went through a lot of time thinking that my relationship with God was like perfect, you know. And when I came here to, you know, Harrisonburg, and I transferred my membership from the other church, I happened to come at a graduation of Celebrate Recovery. And, you know, that was like, and I was like, that sounds interesting, you know, and I kind of looked into it. And when I joined Celebrate Recovery, like the first lesson, I said, no, this is not for me. This is for somebody who just came to church. And, you know, and the more I got into the lesson, I noticed that something was not right with myself. I was trying to completely avoid what was wrong in my life. And I said, I'm trying to hide. And I said, you know, and my wife was like, no, you know, if you gave your word, you always said your yes is your yes, your no is your no. You said yes. I said, well, you know, I'm going to keep going. And by the time I got into the second lesson of Celebrate Recovery and we was in a close group, I started to realize that, yeah, I did have a relationship with Jesus, but it's not the relationship that I thought I had. And I wanted a closer relationship with him. I wanted a better relationship. And when I look back, I said, he has blessed me so many times. Why I don't have that relationship with him? And I was like, because I couldn't forgive myself. He was asking me, forgive yourself. If I have forgiven you, you need to forgive yourself. And you learn from your past. You're trying to go forward, but that is still holding you back. And throughout the process of Celebrate Recovery, I was able to let go and say, I am forgiven. I can forgive myself. I know I did a lot of harm to a lot of people. I did harm to myself with everything that, but God has kept me healthy. And I, you know, praise the Lord for that. And with the program, it's not a program. A lot of times we say it's a program. It's a lifestyle.
Right.
Because I still do it now. You know, I went through the 12 steps. And once I got done, I started looking. What else is wrong with me? I want to do these 12 steps. I want to get better. Because I noticed that when I go through these steps, my relationship with Jesus is a lot closer.
Right.
You know, and just wanting to be close to him, wanting to feel his presence is, you know, something that you really can't describe with words. Right. Yeah, it's a feeling that you say, wow, you know, when he shows you, like, look, and you were thinking about this, but what I have for you is 1,000 times better.
Right.
Are you want to wait? Or you want 100 or you want 1,000? I was like, no, Lord, what you have for me. And it's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. You're going to go to trials and tribulation. The Bible says it. But you have to keep, you know, focus in what Jesus is asking you to do and try to do your best. You're going to, you know, you're going to stumble. You're going to feel sometimes like, I don't want to do this. Ask the Lord for strength. He gets it.
Yeah. And as you were talking, Richard, the word surrender or full surrender came to my mind. So just talk about how you've had to do that in your life and how God has shown himself faithful. And you've talked about that a little bit, but I think you can probably expand on that.
Yeah. So like I said before, I was surrendering, but I was not full surrendering. I was like, okay, Lord, you can work with this, but this is still mine. And that's not what the Lord wants. The Lord wants a full surrender. He wants you everything. You know, I know, like my finances, I was like, okay, Lord, you can work with all this. I work with my finances. And the Lord's like, if I am the owner of the gold and the silver of the world, why are you not trusting me with that? And when I started surrendering slowly by slowly, because it's a process, it's like when you go into the water, you know, you test the water a little bit. So I started surrendering, you know, and the first thing that I wanted to surrender, it was my house. I said, Lord, this is your house. We're just borrowing it right now because you want us to have it. And when I started surrendering my house, you know, we said it, you know, everybody that comes to my house, they're all welcome. You know, we try to help people that don't have a place. They blessed us with a house that has rooms. And we have helped people, you know, go into our house and they tell us, like, why are you doing this? I said, because this is not my house. This is the Lord's house. And this is what the Lord wants us to do. When I was able to surrender, I was able to get rid of all the things that were weighing me down. You know, like when I ended up without a job just this last summer, everybody was looking at me like, are you okay? You know, did you find a job? And I said, hey, the Lord got something for me, you know? And yeah, at times I got desperate, but then I reminded myself, like, Lord, I am surrendering to you this. My worries, this is my worry. This is my desperation. I don't want it. Help me. Give me the strength and the power to handle it. And when I fully surrender to the Lord, you know, you have to be willing to do it. He's not going to obligate you. You know, you have to say, this, Lord, is what I want you to work on in my life. And I always say, once you give it to him, because before I used to be like, Lord, work with this. But then when he started working with it, I grabbed it back and I brought it back into my life. And then the Lord says, okay, if you want it back, I have to stop working in your life. And that's what I noticed with experience. Now I know when I give something to the Lord, I keep my hands off it, because I know that whatever it is, he's going to make it 1,000 times better than what I can do.
Yeah. And I mean, walking alongside you this summer through that process of finding a new job, I was able to see how faithful you were to the Lord during that process. And so as we hear your story, I can see how, you know, God's grace has just been at work in your life, transforming you. I can see how God has, you know, we like to use the word justification, regeneration, and adoption in the church. But it's really just fancy ways of saying that God has made you a new person, that God has forgiven you, that God has adopted you into the family of God. And we can see how your healing was able to happen within that community of believers, of people that were able to not just challenge you to be a better person, but also hold you accountable, because healing is hard. It's a hard process. Surrendering is hard, because we have to say, like, I really want to be in control of this. But I've learned in my life too that whenever I'm in control of something, it never goes the way I want it to go. Right. But when I trust God with it, it always goes a lot better than what I can ever imagine it going. Right. Part of surrendering is being able to say, like, God, I'm not in control of this. And that is a difficult thing to do. And so thanks for sharing that part of your story. I'm just thinking, like, well, the question on my mind is, as you've experienced this in your life, it's evident you have a passion to work with young people. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, when I went back to Puerto Rico, I started, you know, the church was just my mom, my dad, and myself. And, you know, I was not working. I was out of the military at that time. So we used to open up the church every day. And I used to, you know, there was a school next to it. And I was like, why don't we start inviting kids to come over? Like, use the yard of the church to, I don't know, play games, do something. And within that time, you know, I was still trying to find my way around. And when I met my wife now, you know, I was like, oh, I want to go back to school, but I'm too old. She was like, you're never too old to learn. You know, she study education. So I was like, I'm going to go back to school. So when I went back to school, I said, well, I want to study psychology. And everybody's like, why psychology? I was like, because I want to figure out myself. I said, I want to figure out, you know, what's going on up here and what is going on. So I studied psychology and actually sociology and criminology. All, you know, I have a bachelor's and two minors. Then after that, when I finished, I told my wife, I'm going to Maryland. And my wife's like, you just graduated, you got your bachelor's degree, now you're leaving. What are you going to do? I said, I have no idea, but I feel that I have to move. And my wife, you know, she was supportive about it. And she was like, okay, I'll stay here. You go when everything is settled in Maryland. And then when I was in Maryland, you know, I went through, you know, I was working at a landscaping company because I have security background from the military. I was doing, you know, the federal buildings. But it was like, it was not my place. Felt like, okay, I'm working, I'm doing all this work. It's good money, but it's not my place. And one of my friends, you know, my wife came from Puerto Rico and she came into Maryland. She got her license in Puerto Rico. She has a license to teach in Maryland. So she started teaching. And my friend was like, hey, you have a bachelor's. Why don't you come to the school system? I was like, nah, that's not for me. He's like, but you're great at it. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. And he kept on pushing. So finally, I was like, okay, fine. So I started as a bus driver. And he says, no, you got to be in the classroom. So I decided, I was like, they're not going to hire me, you know, thinking to myself. But I said, Lord, if this is what you want, I went and put it that I went and filled out the application. And that day I ended up having, I was a kindergarten teacher and I just had so much fun teaching kindergarten. You know, I always just tell my wife, like, why are you doing this for the kids? Why are you doing that for the kids? But when I started in school, like, I like bought a whole bunch of pajamas. Like, I dressed like the Minions and I dressed like this and I dressed like that. And after that, it was just, you know, a passion in me just like came out, and I was like, this is what I want to do. So I ended up studying my master's degree in curriculum instruction and assessment to understand better the curriculum system and how to assess students and how, you know, to help the students. And the more I studied and the more that I applied what I've learned, the bigger my passion of working with kids and helping, you know, families. And I started doing interventions at school, at, you know, after school hour for the kids. And the Lord brought us here, you know, to Virginia to work as teachers. And, you know, and I felt that, that the impact that I had in the school system here in Harrisonburg was coming to an end. And, you know, I was like, Lord, what you want me to do now? And the Lord says, well, Waynesboro. And I was like, well, okay, Lord, I trust you. That's what you want. You know, I'm going to Waynesboro. And everybody's like, you just resigned a full-time job to go and substitute. I was like, yes. I said, the Lord got me. I said, the Lord got this. The Lord got it, you know, and I ended up started substituting in Waynesboro. I was there for about a week when another job opening came. And it was like, do you want this other job opening? And we have to sometimes stand back and look. When I stop back and I look at it, I said, if I was used to, like I said, one of the things I have to give control to or surrender was the money, was my finances. And people's like, but you went from Maryland to Virginia and cut your salary in half. Now you're going to Waynesboro and you're cutting your salary in half again. That makes no sense. And I said, don't ask me. Ask the Lord. To him it makes sense. To me, right? I'm just following along. So like I said, a week after that, they offered me this other position, which is a part-time position, making a full-time salary. And everybody asked me, what? I said, yeah. I have a part-time position making my full-time salary. And I said, only the Lord does this.
Yeah.
Plus, then I can still, because it's only 20 hours a week, I can still substitute and still impact kids. And I started working with special needs kids. And, you know, and I've been to the middle school also and the high school. And I see the need. And I have identified the need. And I said, Lord, thank you for, you know, choosing me to be able to be your vessel in that community and to serve that community. And, you know, it cannot be better. Is, you know, everything, my passion for working, you know, with families and working with students is what the Lord made me for. You know, it's always been the purpose. And I'm just, you know, thank the Lord that, you know, he has opened up all these doors, you know, because one of the things that came to my mind when I ended up without a job and I was worried about it. I'm not saying I wasn't, you know, I was like, Lord, you know, I'm leaving this job. What's going on? And a person at the school says, hey, when the Lord closes one door, he will open up another one. Right. But if you stay looking at that closed door, you're going to miss the open door that the Lord has opened right. for you. And that really touched me. You know, this is a person that I hardly talked to at school and just gave me that message. And I was like, wow, Lord, I know what you're asking me to do, to stop looking at this and let you. And there goes the part again. You want me to surrender. So that's right. when I said, okay, Lord, I'm surrendering.
Right. And Richard, two things I hear as you're talking. Well, God's timing is perfect.
Yes.
God's timing is perfect. And his timing is not our timing. And also his plan for us is better than the plan that yeah. we have for ourselves. So God's plan is better for us than we have for ourselves. And God's timing is not our timing. Just anything in the last few minutes that we have here, Richard, that you would like to share that you haven't shared already? Yeah, and if you have any final questions, Pastor Chris, also for Richard.
I mean, the only other thought that I have is that maybe you can share a little bit of like, what brings you most hope? And so for someone listening to this today, as they're listening to your story and what God has done in your life, how can you just share hope?
Well, the way that I find hope is by surrendering. When I surrender, because I'm giving myself, I'm not in control. I'm letting God take control. Like you said, God, he's faithful. And, you know, when me and my wife, because, you know, me and my wife, we both have surrendered to the Lord, and we can see that what he has in store for our lives is a lot better and bigger than we can imagine. You know, we, like you said, we make plans and the Lord just turns around and makes it, because we're surrendered, he makes it bigger and better, and we're happy. And when times get tough, we have to learn how to really trust on the Lord and wait and surrender.
Yeah, and thank you for sharing that, Richard, because this program is called Hope Talks, and certainly you have brought hope to me and are still bringing hope to me through your testimony. And I'm just going to say a quick prayer in closing for you and for your family and for Waynesboro and what the work that God will do there. Lord, I just thank you for Richard and his life and his testimony and how you're using him, Lord, and for Madeline and for their baby on the way and everything goes smoothly with that. I also pray for the Waynesboro campus, Lord, and the lives that will be impacted in that community through that campus, and for Richard and Madeline as they lead the teens at the Waynesboro campus, and also for how you're using Richard, and you've opened up a door for him in Waynesboro, in the school system, to minister to the kids in that school system, Lord. And so we thank you for your timing, Lord, even though it wasn't our timing, and we thank you that your plan for Richard's life is bigger maybe than he had for himself. And I just pray a blessing over him and his family. And I ask all this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Richard, thank you for joining us today. It's been great to have you.
You're welcome.
And Pastor Chris, thank you for joining me today and sitting in for Pastor Margaret. It's been great to have you.
Of course, yeah.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as we've talked with Richard Ayala today and as you've heard his testimony, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.